All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Jerry and Sarah Walansky, for dedicating all of the shiur midrashos this month. And the Schutz of Refuah Shleima for Zecharya Dov Ben Perel Shira, to thank Shani and Avram Kelman in memory of their beloved parents, and the Schutz of all those who need Refuah Shleima. Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Paris Moshe Ben David, Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude to Hashem, and with tefillos for health for all in the new year. Leah Sol, as a schus for a fushlima for our daughter Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshua's. To thank our Daf Yomi sponsors today. For today, Avron and Gali Elbaum, in creation of the eyesight of Avron's grandfather, Avram Menachem Ben Yitzchok Yehuda, and in the merit of the Kehila being inscribed in the Sefer HaChaim for a year of success, healing, and spiritual growth. Beautiful dedication. Amen, amen, be amen. But with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, but we are a very capable and able chavra, so we will, Amir Hashem, get it done. Today's daf is Daf Mem, page 40. We are picking up Amir Hashem on Lamed Tes on the base, and we'll say we left off So remember again, the Gemara said that about halfway down the page on Lamed Tes on the base. If a person goes ahead and does one additional mitzvah over his averus, mativan lo, ultimately, again, in Shamayim, they benefit him. The Gemara says, Raminu, is that true? The Gemara says, Kol she zuchu yosav merubin merubin mi avonosav. And thank you. Anyone whose zuchuyos are more numerous than his averus, Marian lo. So this sounds to be like a good person, right? So a person who has more mitzvahs than averus, Marian lo, so Shamayim punishes him. When you look at his life, he's treated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he burnt the entire Torah. And he didn't leave over even one letter. Conversely, anyone who has more averus than mitzvos, mativin lo, he has a good life. Ultimately, it's as if he fulfilled the entire Torah. But we'll say, what the Gemara is highlighting over here is tzaddik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo. Right, that in life, sometimes people who are tzaddikim, the way their life turns out, it looks like they're rishonim, just the way Hashem treats them, chas v'shalom. Conversely, sometimes there are people who are rishonim, right, and yet, again, their olam hazeh, their world is so wonderful and so beautiful, as if they kept the entire Torah. Amar Abaye, masnisin da'avdin le'yom tov v'yom bish. So Abaye says that in life, the way it works is everybody gets a yomtiv, everybody gets a good day, and everybody gets a bad day. Well, say the shayla is, in which world is your good day, and in which world is your bad day? So what happens is that tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that everybody has averus, so if the Moshalom exacts punishments for their averus in this world, this is the Yom Bish, this is the bad world, then at the end of the day, Meretz Hashem, the other world to come, Olam Haba, could be so beautiful and be so special. Conversely, the Rishayim, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the good day in this world, and then their Olam Haba ultimately is where retribution is exacted. Rava Amar, Rava says, Hamani Rav Yaakov, it's Rav Yaakov. What does Rav Yaakov say? Damar, Schai Mitzvah Bahai Al Malacha. But Rav Yaakov is of the opinion, amazingly enough, that there is no Schar for Mitzvos in this world. Now, both say, if we were not constrained by time, how much we could talk about this concept of schar mitzvah b'hai amalaka. What does this mean? That there's no reward for mitzvos in this world. I will say, furthermore, again, the problem with this particular shita is the idea that the Torah itself is replete with reward, right? So again, even if you want to stay away from the mitzvos that have like arichos yomim, longevity, because as we pointed out, longevity may not mean actual longevity, but can mean other things. We'll say, you have entire parashiyos that are devoted to the concept that if you listen to the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you and will give you material reward. So what do you do with that? So very quickly, two things. The Archaim HaKadosh says in parashiyos B'chukosai, the Archaim explains, when the Torah says, if you listen to my mitzvahs, I'll give you, and then it goes into actual material reward, the Archaim says, you're using the wrong word. That's not reward. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us gashmius, right, material benefit, as a result of mitzvah performance, that's not the reward. The material benefit is there to enable further performance of mitzvos. Materialism, says the Aruch Chaim, is not a reward for mitzvos. Materialism is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. When God recognizes you want to lead a life of spirituality, He will give you material things so that those things could enable you to continue on your spiritual journey. That's not the reward. That's why Rabbi Yaakov says, reward is in the world to come. Reward is in Olam Haba. Ultimately, again, this is to enable you, ultimately to continue to do the beautiful things you've already expressed, not just expressed, you've already committed to doing in this world. It's such a different way. He says, that's the Parashat Bichol Kosai. What do you think? You do mitzvahs and the reward for mitzvahs is sheep? That's what you think? The reward for mitzvahs is sheep? The reward for mitzvahs is grain? That's it? That's the totality? No. But Hashem Baruch Hu recognizes, you know what? You got a couple of sheep in the pocket, you know, metaphorically, right? You got a couple of shekel in the pocket. Suddenly, spirituality becomes a little bit easier when you're able to pay your bills, right? Spirituality becomes a little bit easier when you don't feel the material crunch. That's it. Mostly the other pieces of Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, the Rebbe says so beautifully. He says, even though there's no schar mitzvah, even if you're the Rebbe Yaakov, there's no schar mitzvah, ultimately, again, the Rebbe says, "Ava schar achar yeshno." There is a different type of schar. Sha'adu mekalu gaba olam hazeh. And what's that? He says the schar is the tainug hamitzvah. Even if you hold that there is no reward for mitzvot in this world, every mitzvah has its own inherent reward. And what's the inherent reward? The ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, bless you. The knowledge that when I perform a mitzvah, I am serving the King of Kings. I'm giving nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe says, in schar gedola mizo. There is no greater reward for anything in life than that. So we know when a child has the opportunity to give his parent nachas, we all hopefully had moments like that where we gave our parents nachas. It's the best feeling in the world. So the knowledge that when I do a mitzvah, I give the Ribono Shel Olam nachas, that's schar. That's the reward, and that's incredible. So even if you hold the Rabbi Yaakov, that, you know, schar mitzvah ha'al malaka, the schar of nachas is always there as well. So two different approaches. Good. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says, the sign of Rabbi Yaakov, Omer, Ein lucha mitzvah mitzvah she'ksu v'torah she'matan schar b'tzidah, she'en t'chias ha'esim, t'lu yibba. So Rabbi Yaakov says like this, and Rabbi Yaakov anticipates our question. Rabbi Yaakov says, but one second, you have so many mitzvahs in the Torah that do discuss reward. So Rebbe says something amazing. Rabbi Yaakov says something amazing. He says, every single time you're going to find a mitzvah that has reward associated with it, you're also going to find some type of illusion. He calls it Tchias HaMesim. What he's really referring to over here is Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yaakov has a model. Every single time the Torah speaks about reward, there's also going to be a veiled reference to the world to come. For example, B'kibur Aveim Ksiv, Laman Ya'arichun Yamecha, Ulaman Yitav Lecha. So we'll say, so again, there's Arichos Yamim and Yitav. So ultimately, Rabbi Yaakov understands that to mean, well, all right, we've already seen that Arichos Yamim could refer to Olam Haba. B'shuduach HaKan, so anyway, the motherboard Ksiv Laman Yitav Lecha V'ha'arachta Yamim. So we'll say, so once again, this double lashon of Yitav Lecha Ha'arachta Yamim, Rabbi Yaakov is understanding as a reference ultimately to Olam Haba. So, for example, Hari Sha'amar Lo Aviv, so he gives an example over here. A story of a father who told his son, go up to the Bira. Bira literally means like a tower. Meaning, climb a tree. And what happens? Because there's a nest in the tree. I want you to bring me down the chicks. I want you to bring me down the eggs or the chicks in the nest. The son goes up. The son sends away the mother bird. And takes the eggs or the chicks. And then on the way down, the child falls down and dies. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you see an episode like this. Heichan tovas yamav shalzeh. Here the child was engaged in kibbutz ave'im, and yet he died. So where is the arichos yamim? The heichan arichos yamav shalzeh. Elamai yitav lecha liyom shekulo tov. Rather, Rabbi Yaakov says, that's why when the pasuk says it will be good for you, where will it be good for you? In the world that is all good, i.e. in the world to come. You'll enjoy the longevity of days. So we'll say, essentially what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is like this. It's impossible that when the Torah speaks about schar, it's in this world. Why? So we'll say, Rabbi Yaakov essentially saying is, because we see that it doesn't work out that way. Right? We see that. We see that people do the right thing. People do good things. And yet, again, they don't reap the benefits in this world. So how do you reconcile that which the Torah says to that which we see? And I will say, what's the answer? The answer is because when the Torah is speaking about benefit and speaking about reward, it's not referring to this world. It's referring to the world to come. And he quotes this episode, ultimately, again, of the child going up, doing the command of the father, retrieving the chicks, sending away the mother bird. So here this child is engaged in the midst of Kibbutz Ava'im and also listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what happens? On the way down, he dies. So how do you reconcile that? So again, Rabbi Yaakov reconciles it by saying the reward is not in this world, the reward is in the world to come. I have a dilemma, lav hachi haba. But let's say, Rabbi Yaakov is quoting an example. Maybe this story never happened. The Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yaakov maisa chaza. Rabbi Yaakov, this happened, they both say. This story happened. This episode occurred. Actually, the Medrash has it occurring in the city of Tzipori. Right? This story occurred. Rabbi Yaakov is referencing this story. How do you go ahead and reconcile a traumatic story like this of a child, fulfilling the word of his father, a mitzvah that has Arichos Yamim, sending away the mother bird, a mitzvah that has Arichos Yamim, and dying tragically on the way down? How do you reconcile that? Rabbi Yaakov reconciles it by saying again, Schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekah, there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. And ultimately, again, the reward that we discuss ultimately is a reward in the world to come. The Gemara says, V'doma mahari ba'aveira ba. Maybe the child was thinking about aveira. Right? Again, when I say child, this must have been an adult child, right? So ultimately, again, maybe he was thinking about aveiros. That's why he was punished. So Gemara says, "Bach shavu rayin chesh brachu mitzvah lemaisa." But say this is like the best line the whole morning, right? That again, let's say the ribono shel olam does not count negative thoughts like actions. Whew, right? Baruch Hashem, holdu Hashem, kizal gilam chazdo. So let's say, so maybe he was thinking about aveiros, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not count negative thoughts like a maisa aveira. V'dil mahar ba'avodas kachamava. Maybe the child was thinking about avodah zarah. They will say avodah zarah is the exception to this rule. V'uksev l'man tifosh as beis shabba libam. So we'll say, so remember again, avodah zarah is the exception to this rule. That whereas normally, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not treat a thought of an aveira like the actual maisa aveira itself, avodah zarah is the exception. Thoughts of avodah zarah, there is culpability. So maybe the child, maybe the son was thinking about avodah zarah. That's why he died. Ihu nami hachi kamar. This is what was troubling Rabbi Yaakov. Isar daitras char mitzvah b'hai alma amai lo agin mitzvahs alei ki hechi delo leisi lidei hear her. We'll say this is Rabbi Yaakov's kasha. Rabbi Yaakov's kasha was, if there is reward for mitzvahs in this world, then why wouldn't the mitzvah be powerful enough to protect the son from even having the thoughts of avodah zarah to begin with? In other words, it's hard to reconcile this. Maybe you're right. Maybe he was thinking about avodah zarah. But l'maisa, how could that have happened? Why wouldn't the mitzvah have protected him? If a mitzvah is so powerful that it has reward in this world, then why wouldn't that reward have staved off the negative thoughts as well? V'hamar b'lazar, shluchem mitzvah nizakim. Aye, but there's another issue. The son was engaged in a mitzvah. And we have a concept that people on a mitzvah mission are not harmed. Hasan Bali Hasan. There we'll say he was actually died on the way to do the mitzvah. Apparently, again, I guess he was scaling the tree on the way to do the mitzvah and died like that. Shain, Sidi Mar says, Vaha Amar Rabbi Lazar Shluchim is in the Zagalabai Khazal Khazirasan. It's different, we'll say, in that case over there. Remember, but we have but in general, by Shluchim Mitzvah, we have the concept that if you are on your way to do a mitzvah mission, that mitzvah protects you both going and coming, right? On your way there and on your way back, to which the child should have been protected. Sulam ra'ua hava dekavua hezeka. So I'll say, here's the difference. The son used a rickety ladder. And I will say, although mitzvahs have the ability to protect, mitzvahs don't have the ability to protect where there's contributory negligence. In other words, I'll say, you can't put yourself in a makom sakana. You can't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Wherever Allah Maisa again, there is active danger, you can't rely on a miracle. So we've quoted this many times, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shaul to anoint a new king from one of the sons of Yishai, and Shmuel essentially says, how could I go and anoint a new king, Shaul, who
who is the sitting king, is going to kill me. Now here, Shmuel's just been instructed by God, but yet what do you see? He's nervous about being harmed. So you see from here that Allah Elamaisa, you can't be Somech on a Nais in a situation of active danger. So then Rav says, I'm Rav Yosef. So again, ultimately, there could be many different understandings over here as to why ultimately this son died and what happened. It was a rickety ladder, he should have missed something, and it's all different things. But I'll say, point over here is, this was the episode that kind of concretized Rabbi Yaakov's thinking of Schar Mitzvah Bahai Amaleka. Again, is there reward for every single mitzvah? Absolutely, in the world to come. Could there be, I will say, benefit gleaned from mitzvahs? As Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, of course, there's benefit gleaned from every single mitzvah, because at the end I'm giving access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could there even be material benefit gleaned from mitzvahs? Absolutely. Arachayim Parshas B'chu Kosai. That's not reward. That's ultimately, again, kind of like investment capital. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you're doing a great job, I want to help you along on this mission, but that's not the reward. That's not the reward. And I will say, again, all of Rabbi Yaakov's thinking seemingly concretized, again, around this particular tragic episode. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amalei Darshe Acher Lahaikra, Rabbi Yaakov, it's Barbarte, I will say, Had Acher, who's Acher? Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, the great Talmudic sage, who totally left the fold. Now, I will say, there are different versions as to what happened to Acher, what caused him to leave Yiddishkeit. But the Gemara says, had Elisha ben Avuya darshan all the psukim of that, right, that talk about reward, like Rabbi Yaakov. I will say, by the way, I understand something crazy. Rabbi Yaakov apparently was Acher's grandson, Bar Barte, the son of his daughter. Had Elisha ben Avuya listened to his grandson, Lochata, he would not have sinned. The Acher Mai. So we'll say, what happened to Acher that caused him to leave the fold? So we'll say, Chaza. Some say he saw this episode. We'll say, Acher saw, Elisha ben Avuya saw the episode of the boy dying when going to serve his father and send away the mother bird. Elisha ben Avuya, he saw it, we'll say. He saw it. And he was so traumatized by this, that a young man serving his father, sending away the mother bird, two mitzvos that have arichos yamim, just dies. And again, I will say, in the version of the Medrash, Acher sees this, and you know what he says after he sees this young man fall to his death? He says, les din v'les dayan. There is no judgment and there is no judge. Right? No one runs the world. No one runs the world. If something so traumatic and so tragic could happen while someone is supposedly involved in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, less din, for less dayon. There is no judgment, there is no justice, and there is no judge. Some say that he saw the tongue of Chuspis HaTorgman. Chuspis HaTorgman was one of the Asar Rugi Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs. And the way the Romans, before the Romans killed him, they cut out his tongue and they gave it to a chazer. They gave it to a chazer. He saw the tongue of Chutzpis the Targumon being pulled around by a chazer. Amar Pesh Hebig Margolio Silacheich Afar. How could it be that the tongue that spoke so much beautiful Torah could now be rolled around in the dust? And therefore, Nafak Chata. Acher saw this, and ultimately, again, he went on and said, so the common denominator between these two stories is that what sent Acher running from Yiddishkeit, what sent him over the edge, was Tzadik V'Ralo. He could not wrap his head around the idea that terrible things happen to good people. That how could it be, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of this, if, again, good people could seemingly suffer unnecessarily? The Gemara says, had he just understood Rabbi Yaakov's Hashkafa, namely, there's not reward for mitzvos in this world. Schar mitzvah b'chayi amaleka. So Rabbi says, so there's incredible and beautiful bounty for everyone who does wonderful things in the world to come. But sometimes this world operates a little bit differently. Had he understood his grandson's hashkafa, perhaps he would not have sinned. Much more to say about Acher, but okay, next cycle. Rami bar Tuvi. So the Gemara says, Rami, Rav Tuvi bar Rav Kisna l'Rav Tnan. So the Gemara says, anyone who does one mitzvah, ultimately again, mativan lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him. Asein lo asalo. Only if he does the mitzvah does he get reward. If he doesn't get the mitzvah, he doesn't do reward. So we'll say, it sounds like reward comes if you do something. Or minu, the Gemara says, akasha, yashav lo avra aveira. If a person sat and didn't sin, we'll say, it's great Gemara. Let's say you just sat and did nothing, but In that same moment when you did nothing, you also didn't sin. So nosnin lo schar ka osei mitzvah. So it says, this is a great Gemara, right? Ultimately, again, if you sit and do nothing, right, you get reward, ultimately, as again, as if you did a mitzvah. In other words, if I sit and did not sin, not sinning, is tantamount, ultimately, again, to the performance of a mitzvah. So we'll say it's contradictory. First part of the Braisa says, only if you do a mitzvah, active mitzvah, do you get reward. Second part says, even if you sit and don't sin, you also get reward. They will say, that's referring to where a person was tempted with sin and didn't sin. Didn't sin. Sin showed up at my doorstep and I didn't do anything. So Lemaisa, again, in that situation, even though, again, I didn't actively do anything, but resisting the temptation to sin is in and of itself tantamount to the commission of an active mitzvah. We'll also listen to these stories. Kiha de Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, tav asiyah hahi matronisa. He was propositioned by a Roman noble woman. Right, he was propositioned in an illicit way by a Roman noblewoman. What happened? Amar milsa umali nafshe shichna v'kiva. So apparently he used some type of incantation and caused his entire body to be filled with boils and scabs to make himself look repulsive. Avda hamilsa v'issi. She had her own incantations. And what did she do? She said something and he was healed. Right? Arak tashavahu be'bani. He went to hide in a bathhouse. Right, sorry, the Gemara says, Arak, he ran away. Tasha Ahubei Bani, Dechihavu Island Betrin, Afido Biyamama, Havi Misiki. So we'll say, he ran, and I will say, now remember again, remember from our, where did we have, from our Gittin days? We'll say, remember again, where do Shadim love to hang out, right? If you're looking for Shadim, where are you always going to find them? Right? Bathhouse, right? Bathrooms, bathhouses, right? So we'll say, so again, so there was this bathhouse that no one went to because it was inhabited by Shadim, and the Shadim there were so powerful that even if you went with someone else, right, and even if you went during the day, which normally are things that Shadim don't start up with, the Shadim would still start up with you. But he ran into this bathhouse. What happened? So the next day, so apparently he hid out of the bathhouse. The next day he came out. And the rabbi said to him, who guarded you, right? Who watched over you in that bathhouse? Because the shadim are so powerful there. Top of mem. So Amr Lahu, he said to them, Shnei nosei keser shamruni kol alayla. Ultimately, again, there were two guards of the Caesar who watched over me the entire night. So it says, so apparently he had malachim who were watching over him from the shadim the entire night. Amr Lahu, they said, Shemadvar erva barli adecha v'nitzal tehemenu. So they said, now remember, no one knew the story. No one knew the story about Rabbi Chanina, why he was hiding out in the bathroom. They asked him, by the way, is it possible that you had the opportunity to sin in an immoral fashion, right, with Arayas, with Dvar Erva, and you were saved from it? Is it possible that's what happened to Tanin? Because we learned, Kol abo Dvar Erva liado v'nitzal yimeno osin lo neis. We'll say, whoever is tempted with immorality and ultimately goes ahead and withstands the temptation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles for such a situation, for such a person. Incredible. Another story. Ki borei koach osei dvaro l'shmo b'kol dvaro. Gigon Rabbi Tzadok v'chaverov. Well, listen to this. Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok tavasi v'matrenisa. Rabbi Tzadok ultimately was propositioned from a Roman noblewoman. Amrale, he said to her, chalosh li libai. Ultimately, I would love to sin with you, but I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I have a weak heart. So you must remember again, these were powerful women. Because they're powerful women, you couldn't just say no. You couldn't just say no. Right? They had the power of life and death. And that's why Rabbi Chanina runs away. That's why, again, so what happens? Rabbi Tzadok says, you know what? You're wonderful. You're beautiful. But I have a weak heart. I have a weak heart. I'm a little too tired. And he said, you know what? I haven't eaten anything today, so I'm a little bit weak, a little bit tired, but thank you for the offer. She said, no problem, I'm happy to make something for you. Right? I happen to have some non-kosher meat here. Amrla, my nafkamina. So he said to herself, he said, you know, like, it's interesting, you're offering me something non-kosher in order to be able to participate in an act of immorality. And you see from here, da'avit ha'achal ha, that ultimately, again, one who engages in immorality ultimately eats non-kosher. The idea that he was trying to say is, if I commit this Avera, it's a gateway to so many other things afterwards. So the Gemara, so what did she do? So Shagras Tanura, Kaman Chala. So she fired up the oven and she put the piece of meat for him inside the oven. Salik V'yosef Bigave. Rabbi Tzadok went and sat in the oven. Amrale, my high. She said to him, this translation is, what's up, right? Right? What's up with that, right? What my high, what are you doing? Amarla, he said to her, da'avid ha, nafil baha. Anyone who does this, i.e. an immorality, an act of immorality, will nafil baha, will fall into this, the oven, i.e. Gehenim. So it's a pretty profound. So listen to what happens. Amrali, she said to him, I yade kule hai lo sarasicha. Had I known that this is so problematic for you, I would have never put you in this uncomfortable position. I will say, it's absolutely incredible. I just want to point out that there's a profound Musar Haskel in this story. What's the profound Musar Haskel? And I will say, a lot of times in the world, Jews, right, from Jews, sometimes, I don't think it's as much today, but you see much more like, sometimes like we're uncomfortable, right? You go, right, person takes a job, I'm uncomfortable, you have to be off Yontif, I have to be off this, I have to leave early on Fridays, I have to this, and or I can't attend this holiday party, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You know, it doesn't shtim with my values. And sometimes we're so scared to kind of be upfront about who we are and what we are. And also, you know what you see from a story like this? You know what she says? Right? What does the Roman noble say to Rabbi Tzadik? Why didn't you just tell me from the beginning? Right? In other words, I'll say, sometimes in life, if you are upfront and solid about your values and about what you hold and about who you are and about what your beliefs are, I will say, you know, sometimes the world respects that. And sometimes what the world doesn't respect are people who are wishy-washy. Right? So people who are like, or not upfront about things, or don't have enough conviction and enough belief to articulate fully what you believe in and what you stand in. So stand for. So again, but when you are confident and you're able to articulate, this is what I believe, this is how I live, this is what I need, because my career is not the top of my life pyramid. My Jewish identity is, and everything else in my life must conform to that. Sometimes the world responds positively towards that. It's incredible. One more story. Rav Kahana. I'll say first white line, Memon Dalet. Rav Kahana, Havakam Zabin Dikule. Rav Kahana used to sell baskets. What happens? Tavasya hi matronisa. There was a Roman noblewoman who propositioned him. Amar Lai said to her, Ezel ikshit nafshai. You know what? I'm happy to sin with you. He didn't say that, but right? Essentially, he said, let me go fix myself up. I'll make myself look handsome, and I'll be back. Salik, so I'll say, Salik the kanafa me'igra. La'ar. He went up to the rooftop, and he threw himself off the roof. In other words, he would sooner die than commit this act of immorality. I'll say, get ready for this. Asa Elio kable. Eliyahu Navi came and caught him. Caught him. Incredible. Amrale, atrechisan arba mea parse. Elio says, you know what? I had to run 400 parasols to catch you. Right, which essentially, I was kind of busy. Right? I was doing other stuff. Right? I had other stuff. I would say, by the way, it's also very validating that even Eliyahu HaNavi has a scheduled events for the day, and then stuff happens that disrupts his normal calendar. Very validating. Right? So what happens? Eliyahu says, I had to travel. I was somewhere else. I was somewhere else for the day. I had to travel 400 parasols to catch you. Amale, mi garam, li. So I've also listened to this. It's incredible. Shrav Kahana says, Elio, you know what caused this situation? Lav aniyusa. The truth is that I have to stand, I'm poor. And so I have to stand in the marketplace selling baskets. And Rashi points out, by the way, these were the baskets that Dafka women used to hold like their needle and thread. So I have to interact with women the whole day. Right? So again, Rav Kahana says, that's what put me in this situation. So Yoav le shifa de dinari. Elio gave him a pile of money. That's the end of the story. So I'll say, incredible story. I just want to point out something absolutely amazing. So three stories, right? Rav Kahana, Rabbi Tzadik, and Rabbi Chanina. I'll say, all propositioned by these women. Powerful women, perhaps incredibly beautiful women. I'll say, just want to point out just something to think about. Who amongst us could stand up to an Isayan like that? A powerful, beautiful woman comes and propositions you. Let's say it's humbling to think about. These great Rabbanim, all were able just to say no. It's nice to think that a person would say no. Let's say, but when tempted with opportunity like that, and also again with power like that, because obviously being with these women would come with, a variety of different perks and benefits. The ability to have such a strong moral backbone that when given the opportunity for immoral, lustful action, you're able to say no, we'll say it's God bless. These stories are greater than anything else you could ever tell us about their Torah, about their Maisim Tovim, the ability to have such spiritual conviction that when given the opportunity to sin in a way that is the greatest struggle for most of us, is godless. Is absolute godless. Incredible what I say. Rabbi Le, Rabbi Rav Nachman. So Rabbi is Kashrut Rav Nachman. Tanan. Eilu Dvarim Sh'Adam Osei, Osev, Oson. These are the things that a person performs. Va'ochel Perosein Ba'olam Hazeh. Right, he goes and eats, right, gets the benefit. Now we'll say, Ochel Perosein Ba'olam Hazeh means he gets benefit from them in this world. He eats the fruit in this world. Ta'keren Kayem Eslo Di Olam Hava. But the principle ultimately, again, is intact for the world to come. Shabbos says, so these are mitzvahs from which you will get benefit in this world, but the principle of the mitzvah is really intact for the world to come. What are the mitzvahs? Eluhein, kibud av v'eim, honoring your parents, gemilas chesedim, acts of charitable kindness, havaz shalom shabin adon l'chaveiro, making peace between people, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, ultimately, again, Talmud Torah, and learning. Shabbos says, so these are all mitzvahs that you get reward in this world, peros in this world, but ultimately, again, the real reward comes in the world to come. So we'll say, where do we see this? B'kivon ha'vayim, ksiv, l'man yarichun yomecho, l'man yitav l'cha. So we'll say, double lashon. You'll enjoy longevity, which we've established means the world to come. L'man yitav l'cha, it'll be good for you in this world. B'gemilas chasadim, ksiv, ro dev tzedaka v'chasid, yimatzei chayim, tzedaka v'kavad. So we'll say, all these mitzvahs have a double lashon of benefit. And the double wording, ultimately, again, of benefit, represents this world and the next. Ba'avas shalom, right? Making peace between friends. Ksiv, bakish shalom v'radfehu. V'am Rabbi Abahu. Asra redifa. The gzir shav redifa. Ksiv hacha bakish shalom v'radfehu. Uksiv hasam rodef tztaka v'chesa. B'tamu Torah ksiv, ki hu chayecha v'orech yomecha. Again, it's your life and longevity of days. So again, common denominator, once again, all of these mitzvos have psukim, which have double lashonos of reward. And we understand that to mean reward in this world, the peros, you get the fruits of those mitzvos in this world, but the principle, the real primary reward, the principle, world to come. Shiluach HaKan, sending away the, I think Mara says, Shiluach HaKan Na'amiksiv, what about Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, that also has the man yitav lecha v'arachta yamim, listening namiha. So we'll say, why don't you include Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, that also has a double expression of benefit. So why don't you include that in the list as well? Tana v'shir, you're right, the Tana didn't include everything, he left off some things. So the Gemara says, Tana v'shir, Tana eilu dvarim, zos omeres, bat omeres, Tana v'shir, I don't understand. We'll say, the list begins with, these are the things. Whenever you see a list that says, these are the things, what does that mean? These are the things and nothing else. So how can you say, he left off other things? Amrava, Ravidi Azbrali, Amrutza di Kitov. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Va'at Amrit, Tana V'shir. Fine. So that's the Kasha. Amar Rava. So Rav Idi Asarali, Rav Idi explained this to me. Imrut Tzadik Ki Tov, Ki Pri Malaleim Yochelu. So we'll listen to this. This is incredible. Say to the Tzadik, who is good, right? He will eat the fruits of his efforts, he will consume. The Gemara says, V'chi Yesh Tzadik Tov, Yesh Tzadik Shena Tov. Why does the Pasuk call him a Tzadik Tov, a good Tzadik? We'll say, is there such a thing as a good tzaddik and such a thing as a tzaddik that's not a good? I would think, like, once you reach the level of tzaddik, you're solid, right? That's good. There's a good tzaddik, there's not a good tzaddik. Ella, we'll say, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. Ella, Tov l'shana l'brios, zeo tzaddik tov. If a person is good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, righteous in his relationship with Hashem, and righteous with his relationship with fellow people, that is a tzaddik tov. Tov l'shamayim ran l'brios, zeo tzaddik she'eno tov. Wow. Wow. Now let's say, if you are a tzaddik who is good in your bein adam lamakom and your bein adam lechavero, your relationship with God, your relationship with people, that is a tzaddik tov. But if you are a tzaddik who is good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not good to people, that is a tzaddik she'ino tov. Wow. Well, that is a tzaddik who's not so great. So both say, you could be a not so great tzaddik. That is a person who is proficient in his bein adam lamakom, but is struggling in his bein adam lechavero. Wow. So you must say about Abba Atomer. Similarly, again, you could say, "Ay la Rasha ra ki gemul yadav yasalo." So he says, "Woe to the evil Rasha, Simur says, I understand. V'chi yesh rasha ra v'yesh rasha she'en ra. We'll say, is there such a thing as a rasha that's bad, a rasha that's not bad? And there's rasha, I'm pretty bad, through and through. El Rabba says, incredible. Same idea. Ella, ra la shayim v'ra la brios, ha rasha ra. If a guy is bad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bad to people, that's a rasha ra. That's an evil, evil person. Ra la shayim v'en ra la brios, ze rasha she'en ra. Wow, I'm saying. And if you're evil to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're good to people, that's a rasha she'en ra. I will say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see how much the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to be good to each other. Right? And I will say, you could be a Rasha. You could be a Rasha. But if you are a Rasha who's good to other people, that's a Rasha She'eno Ra. You're a Rasha who's not so bad. Who's not so bad. You're bad to people and you're bad to God. That's a really bad Rasha. You're bad to God, but you're not so bad to people. That's a Rasha She'eno Ra. I will say, incredible. Incredible. How careful we have to be in our interpersonal relationships, how careful we have to be how we treat the other, and how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that. So much to say, but let's go by Teraschus. Yesh Lekem V'yesh Laperos. We'll say every mitzvah has a principle and has fruit, or has what we call dividends. Shneamar Imru Latzadik Kitov, Aveira Yesh Lekem V'yin Laperos. We'll say on the other hand, an Aveira, has a principle but doesn't have peros. I will say, Rashi points out over here what peros means is reward or punishment in this world. In other words, so a mitzvah is a keren, which means the primary mitzvah is repaid, is rewarded in the world to come. But there's peros. There could be dividends you receive in this world. And aveira, one is punished in the next world. Ve'ein lo peros. But ultimately, again, apparently, you're not punished for aveiros in this world. So we'll say, but 1 second, but what about the fact that it sounds like you are punished for Averos in this world? So we'll say, an Avera that does have dividends in this world, right? So again, we'll discuss what that means. Well, let's see. So we'll say, there are Averos that have impact in this world. Rashi says, for example, Chil Hashem by Adam Chashev. We'll say, let's say an important person does something that profanes the name of God. So that has peros. Why does it have peros? Other people are going to see what he does and learn from his example. So such an avera like that, ultimately, again, yeah, you get punished for in this world as well, because there's an impact in this world. The Gemara says, v'she'ino se'peros ein le'peros, machshav v'tor mitzarf l'maisa. Furthermore, again, I will say, when a person has a positive thought, the Ribono Shel Olam counts that as an action. Shene emar, as nidbru yirei Hashem, ish areo ve'yakshev Hashem yishma ve'yikasi b'sefer zikaron lefanav yirei Hashem ulechol shvei shmo. My ulechol shvei shmo. What does it mean about those who think about Hashem? Amravasi afilu chashev adam lasas mitzvah v'nenas v'lo asa. But listen to this incredible Gemara. If you want, a person thought about doing a mitzvah, but he was precluded from doing so. Ma'ala lavakasav ki'ilu asa. Chash Baruch Hu treats it as if he performed the mitzvah. Kilo Asa. He'll say, by the way, isn't that incredible? If you ever wonder how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be successful, that's it. He'll say, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu treat, right? Good, right? You get rewarded for good intentions. You wanted to do a mitzvah. We're precluded from doing so. You get benefit as if you performed it. He'll say, that's how much the Ribono Shel Olam vies for our success. You want to do something good, you prevented from doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the benefit or gives you the reward as if you did it. However, machshava ra, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah l'maaseh, as we said before, Baruch Hashem, but however, negative intentions, negative thoughts, a thought to do an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not treat like a maaseh. Shnei emar, avon im ra'isi b'libi lo yishma Hashem, ve'alamani mekayim hinini mevi ala amazeh ra, pre-machshavosam. So what does it mean? I'm going to punish them for the fruits of their thoughts. Machshava she'ose pri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Machshava she'inose pri, ein mitzarfa l'maisa. So we'll say, inachinami, if a person has a thought to do an avera, and that thought ultimately, again, leads to action, then one is culpable for the action and the thought. But if the thought never leads to action, then ultimately there is no culpability for the sinful thought by itself. So say the one exception to the rules of Avodah Zarah. Whereas in normally, again, so we'll say, listen to this model. Right? Machshava tova. If a person has an intention to do a mitzvah, but is precluded from doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cheats that as if I did the mitzvah. Conversely, thought to do an Aveira, that does not lead to actual Aveira, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not treat like a Maisa. However, if you have a thought to do an Aveira, and you do the Aveira, then there is culpability both for the action of the Aveira and the thought of the Aveira. The exception to this rule is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is so severe that even thoughts to do Avodah Zarah, ultimately, again, there is culpability even for those thoughts as well. So Ula Amar, Kid Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, Kevan Sha'avra Adam Aveira V'shanaba Hutshralo. Ula says, as soon as a person did an Aveira and then repeated the Aveira, it becomes mutter. So Gemara says, Hutshralo, really? That's what it's, I don't know, that's interesting. That's all it takes, right? Just do an Aveira twice, suddenly, poof, it's mutter. So Gemara says, Hutshralo Sakhanaitra, we'll say, first of the widest lines at the bottom, Ella, Nasis Loketer. It doesn't mean it becomes mutter, but what does it mean, we'll say? When a person engages in repeated negative activity, that which was negative and prohibited suddenly becomes permitted. We know this from our own lives. The greatest challenge of sin is that which I performed the first time and clearly hurts and is clearly asur, do it more than once and suddenly again it becomes like it's mutter. I'm Rabbi Abba, Mishra, Rabbi Chanina. Noach lo the Adam, this is wild Gemara. Noach lo the Adam shiyavor aveira b'seser, v'ayil chaloshim shemayim b'farhesya. But say it is better for a person to perform a mitzvah privately rather than to make a chilul Hashem in public. Shneamar v'yatem beis Yisrael kamar Hashem ish gilulav luchu ivdu v'acher im einchem shomen lelai v'es shem kachi lo sechalalu. Shavu say Amar Rabbi Eloi hazaken im roa adam shiyisro miskabra alav. Shavu say it's incredible Gemara. If a person feels that his yitzhara is too strong and he cannot vanquish his yitzhara, what should he do? Yelech lamakum shemakirin oso. Go somewhere where no one recognizes you. V'yilbash shchorim, wear black clothing so you don't attract attention. V'yiskase shchorim. V'yase kimo shelibo chavetz. And do whatever you need to do. V'yichelo shim shalim v'farhesya. And do not desecrate the name of Hashem publicly. The Rebbe say, this is a dramatic Gemara. Now again, don't leave. Don't leave yet, right? Don't leave yet, because I see a couple of too many smiles over here. I will say, so again, just to be clear. What the Gemara is saying is, what I'm saying, this is an incredibly profound Gemara. There are times in life, the Gemara acknowledges, I'm going to sin. And as much as I'm trying to struggle to go ahead and contain this sin and not sin, there are times in life where I know I'm going to lose the battle. But I will say, what do you do in those moments when you know you're going to lose the battle? What do? You mitigate the fallout. How do you mitigate the fallout? So try to do it anonymously. Try to do it in a way, ultimately, again, that doesn't create a chilul Hashem. Rabbi say, to be clear, the Gemara is not condoning this, right? I will say, this is like a Yefas Toar type of moment, right? Where, again, the goal is, be strong. The goal is rise to the occasion. But in those moments that I can't, Rabbi say, and the Gemara is acknowledging that there may be moments where I'm in a place where I'm going to lose the battle. If you're going to lose the battle, Rabbi say, at least try to mitigate the fallout to some degree. Go somewhere where no one knows you. Sin in anonymity. Don't create chil Hashem. It's incredible. Ini, the Gemara says, is that true? Vatanya, kol shelo chasat vorkono, roi lo shelo ba'ad olam. We'll say, ultimately, anyone who is not careful with the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's better that he never came into the world. What's this case? Mahi, Rava Amar, Zem Estakel B'Keshes. That's one who looks into a rainbow. We'll say, a rainbow is considered to be a quasi-image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who stares at a rainbow, ultimately, it's as if they're looking directly at the Shekhinah. So the Gemara says, Yosef Amar Zeh Ovra Avera B'Seser. This refers to someone who goes ahead and commits an Avera in private. So we'll say, why? Because when a person commits an Avera in private, what is he doing? What is he saying, essentially? I'm more concerned about what people think than what God thinks. So we'll say that contradicts what we just said before. Lokasho, so the Gemara says, Had dematzi kayif li yitzrei, vahadilo matzi kayif li yitzrei. We'll say everything depends. Do you have the ability to rein in your Yetzer or not? So if you have the ability to rein in your Yetzer, you have the ability to control, but yet you sin in private so that people won't see you, but you don't care about what God thinks, that's sinful. What the Gemara was talking about before, Rabbi Lai was talking about before, is a person, we'll say, who in this moment in life knows, I cannot control my Yetzer Hara. I can't. We'll say, and I want to point out something interesting, how, who is this stated by? Rabbi Lai HaZaken. Zaken, I would say, Zaken could be descriptive of Zeshekana Chachma. It could also be referencing someone who's lived life. And someone who goes through life, I will say, knows that there are some battles you're going to lose. Some battles, we spoke about this last night in Piaget and the Chassidus Chabura. There are some battles you're going to lose. So when you know you're going to lose the battle, try to mitigate the fallout. Try to mitigate the damage. Don't create the Chilul Hashem. That's in a moment where you know that you cannot rein in your Yetzer. Tanan Hasam in Makifim Mechilul Hashem. Rabbi says, "Little Cheshbaruch doesn't extend credit with Chilul Hashem. What does that mean?" So they want to say, "Echad Shogeg veEchad Mezin." My in Makifin Amar Azucha Shein Osim Kichen Vini. Rabbi says, "So whereas a shopkeeper extends credit, the Chilul Hashem was a person commits Chilul Hashem. There is immediate punishment for that, and there is no divine credit for Chilul Hashem." Marbrei Ravna Amar Lomar Shem Haisa Shkula Machras. Let's say furthermore, again, even if a person's scales are exactly equal, if a person has Chilul Hashem, ultimately, again, Chilul Hashem tips the scales against their favor. I will say, an incredible, so much to seek about over here, I will say, because the truth is, this Gemara, there is a piece of this Gemara that is challenging, like, hashkafically challenging. Is there really a situation where you can't overcome your Yitzhara? Is he really? So I will say, maybe the word can't is the wrong word. Maybe the better word is, I won't. I don't know that can't can be used, because it could very well be that I am capable of ultimately rising to every occasion. I am capable of always overcoming the Yitzhara. The Gemara is discussing over someone not who can't, but who won't. So Rabbi Loya is looking and saying, if you won't, okay, at least try to mitigate the damage you're going to do. Tan Rabbanan, I will say, I have to turn the page. Tan Rabbanan. The Olam. Okay, let's stop over here. Right, the Olam. We'll say, we'll stop for just a moment. The Olam Yira Adam Asal Kilo Chatzim Chai Bechatzim Zakai. And we'll say, it is crazy, absolutely crazy, that we are doing these Gemaras on Erev Shabbos Shuva. And we'll say, this is literally Rambam Hilchos Shuva. A person should see himself as if he is half liable and half righteous. Asa Mitzvah Achas Ashrav. If a person does one mitzvah, so he's praiseworthy. Why? Shechriya atzmon lekafskos. So I will say, essentially, the way you're supposed to view yourself in life is exactly even, right? The scales are exactly even. Do one mitzvah, tilt the scales in your favor, right? Shechriya atzmon lekafskos. Avra avera achas. Person does one avera. Oy lo shechriyo es atzmon lekafchova. I will say, ultimately, again, a person does one avera. Ultimately, woe to him that he's gone ahead and made himself liable. One sin could cause so much good to be lost. Because of one sin that a person committed, oved mimenu tovos harbe. Ultimately, again, he could lose out on so much good. I will say, we'll have to stop over here for today. I'm going to figure out how we're going to do the rest of this Gemara. We are going to do it. Maybe okay. We're going to do it to us. We're going to get this done in Eretz Hashem. And it's not, because we'll say, this all of this, by the way, this is Tshuva Gemara. This is all Tshuva Gemara. We have to learn this Be'iyun, Emir Tz Hashem, before Yom Kippur. We're going to find time when it's Lo Yom V'lo Laila. We're going to find the time. We're starting on Sunday at, I don't know, 3:30 in the morning. Emir Tz Hashem, Shkoyach, thank you for the early start. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Hey, Mr. Shabbos.